Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 15, and the Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from 2 Kings, the 5th chapter. Naaman, captain of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master in high favor, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now the Syrians, on one of their raids, had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel, and she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "Would that my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord, "Thus and so spoke the girl from the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothes. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent you to Naaman my servant, that you may cure him of his leprosy." And when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and make alive that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Only consider and see how he is seeking a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come now to me, that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman was angry and went away, saying, "Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. But his servants came near and said to him, "My father, it is a great word the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he actually said to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and he came and stood before him, and he said, "Behold, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. O Lord, have mercy on us."
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The message today is that the Word works. You can see that in our reading today. But alongside that, we have kind of a comical event here. First of all, something that fits very well with our psalm for the day and is not all that comical, that men go to war, that they fight each other, that they carry off captives. We find out that even a little girl has been enslaved by the Syrian army here. You know what sort of thing you want when somebody does something vile like that? You want revenge. You want your king to rise up and shatter them, have a day of wrath, fill the nations with corpses, like the psalm says. And that is exactly the thing that's going on at the surface. With all the important people, they're worried about life and death and fights and prowess and power and show. And so it is when a foreigner sends word to the king of Israel and says, "We're looking for your prophet, we're looking for help, for healing, for our commander," he tears his clothes, he freaks out, and he says, "This is a trick, it's got to be. They're going to try and destroy us. They're going to try and sneak in and then take advantage of us somehow. I just know it. And after all, why would he come to me and ask me to heal him? I'm no God." Notice how he assumed if a foreign dignitary is coming to their nation, obviously they want to deal with the king. He seems to have forgotten about the other power in his land, the true power, in fact, always the true power of Israel, their Lord, his word, his promises, which had never failed them. In contrast to all of their kings, especially by this time, that continually fail them because they continually fall away from the Lord's word. Now, on the other hand, at the same time that all of the important people are frustrated, even Naaman, when he finally gets there, is mad because he thought there'd be a big show, and all that the prophet said was, go wash, do it 7 times. I'm not even going to come out and talk to you face to face, just it'll be easy. He wanted a big show. I mean, he's the commander of the king's army, after all. But it's all the little people, actually, in today's reading that have it right, isn't it? The little girl is serving her mistress faithfully, despite being a slave. And she says, you know what my mistress needs? You know what my master needs? That the Lord would do his work for them, that he would heal them. And she is not ashamed to talk about Jesus, to talk about her God, and to say, go and speak to the prophet of that God. He'll give a word that'll make all the difference. Likewise, the servants are the ones who have to stop their commander and say, wait a minute, are you telling me you got a word from the Lord just for you? Do you know how rare that is? And won't you believe it? Won't you go and at least try? In fact, they don't say it like that. They say, this is a great thing to actually have a word from God. And at the end of the story, finally, we come to it, right? The king acknowledges the true God, even though it's not his own, that he must say there's only a God in Israel. He's the only real one in all the world. And yet our Lord has been at work through such simple things the whole time. This is an important lesson to us. It's one that we learn over and over again in lots of ways, but one the Lord delights in. He loves the reversals. He loves doing the powerful thing through very weak means. He loves doing that little prayer that I've been quoting all week. He likes to show his almighty power, chiefly by showing mercy and pity. And that's what he does with his word. He uses weak people often to confess his word. He chooses not to install angels in the church, but pastors, fallible people, who nevertheless he gives the life-giving word of forgiveness to speak. He doesn't give it to them alone. He gives it to every single one of us so that, like this servant girl, we also may point our friends, our neighbors, people in trouble, maybe even people who are enemies to us, toward the one who really can help, toward God. Lots of people think it's a trick when Christians talk about Christ and say, you need to meet him and know him too. You need to hear his word with me. You need to come and be baptized by him. Wash, yeah, such a small thing as that. And yet to receive a great promise from Christ. It's no trick. It's the true power here, in fact. Our Lord is rarely flashy in what he does. His great healings that are on display all through this season of Epiphany, I mean, we certainly see his power. We can recognize that this is the very Son of God come in our flesh. And yet the real power is his teaching, is it not? The real power is the word that he gives, the promise that never fails. It's always the Pharisees, the unbelievers, who are demanding a sign from Jesus. But the way that he actually accomplishes the greatest work in all of history is by being very weak, by suffering and dying for us. And so it is with holy baptism, where water, the most copious substance in the whole world, that's everywhere, that rains from the sky some mornings even, water is put to use by God's word. And with his word, it becomes such a powerful thing that it bestows on us his name, all of his life, his promises. Yes, it heals us to be like little children who trust the word that is spoken to them. And that, of course, is the thing that saves. When you get a promise and a command from the Lord, it is worth holding on to. Even if it's such a simple thing, even if it's just the message of the hymns we sing today, even if it's just the promise that the Lord will someday, at the last day, put all of our enemies away, all of that sin, all of that fear, all of those things that fight against us and don't have our best interests at heart. He will put them away in the end. But his coming in the flesh was to speak his word, to suffer and to die, to shed his blood, to forgive our sins, to do so many weak things that appear even weaker now in our world, but that are in fact the true powers that can keep us his own children, that can calm a conscience that is burdened, that can set us at peace in him. And at the last day, that will take all of our diseases and ailments and struggles, and the biggest one, death itself, and turn it around and raise us to eternal life that never ends. How's God going to do that? He's going to descend with a cry of command, with a voice. He's going to talk. He's going to speak. He's going to call to us his children like he always does. And by that little word, he's going to raise us to eternal life. Don't be ashamed that the signs and the wonders aren't that amazing with the Lord. Maybe he's not a violent man of war, but he is, in fact, the Lord who speaks his truth like a shepherd to sheep. And those who are wise, even if they're little and insignificant, always listen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast for Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.